In Ephesians 3:20, Paul, the great apostle to the Gentile church, our great overseer, he tells us right here that God is able, he said, now God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we are able to ask by the power of God that worketh within us. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we are able to ask or think by the power of God that worketh within us. And so then that means that there is something on the inside of you and there is something on the inside of me that is so great and so mighty that you and I, we could never fathom as to the depth of this great immeasurable thing. And the Bible tells us that this wonderful great thing is called light in understanding. It is that thing that has come down from heaven. It has looked for a place of abode, and it has found you to dwell in. And the Bible tells us that we have this heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels. And this heavenly treasure is the very spirit and life of Almighty God, the very power of God that spoke the world into existence. And from that great, wonderful thing that God speaks of within you and I, that thing from that exceeded everything, and everything emanated from that and came to be. And so then we're in this world today with this heavenly treasure within the earthen vessels. Now, God has not put it in you for naught. He hath this on the inside of you because you are His children. You are His very body. You are the very image of God in the earth. You are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And God dwells on the inside of you. And the Bible says that if any preacher, any person, any religion, anything tells you any different, that you don't listen to that, because that is called Antichrist. Anybody denying that Christ lives in the human body and dwells in the human body is Antichrist. So don't you ever listen to anybody that ever tries to tell you that the great eternal spirit is not living within the human body. For them that are born again, the Bible said, yeah, the temples of the great Holy Spirit, the great wonderful Holy Ghost, and God lives in you and He talks in you, and He's able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to this great wonderful power that is on the inside of you. That means that you have the power of healing on the inside of you. You have the power of salvation on the inside of you. You have the power to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You have power to cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ by this wonderful Christ that's on the inside of you. I think that's wonderful, folks. Anybody that would trade that for the beggarly elements of this world and for the frivolous things, whether it be money, whether it be sports, whether it be fame, whether it be popularity, whether it be education, whatever it might be, there's something wrong with those kind of folks. You know, Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And a lot of times we think that that's terrible. And it was terrible because Judas had obtained part of that ministry. Do you realize that Judas had obtained part of that ministry just like the other apostles? The Bible said he obtained part of that ministry and failed by transgression. So then this great wonderful God, this great wonderful Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. How do you believe there is a Holy Ghost? Yes, there's a Holy Ghost. And who is that Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. That's what it is. And the Bible said when He comes, He'll come in the name of Christ Jesus. He doesn't come in just any name. He won't come in my name. He won't come in your name. He won't come into some evangelist's name. But He will come in the name of Jesus Christ. He will come in. The Bible says when He comes, what will He do? He will testify of Jesus. The Bible said this great Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. Now, if my spirit came into you, you know what my spirit would do? It would testify of me. Isn't that right? The Bible said if an evangelist comes and if he testifies of himself, his witness is not true. See, because if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's one that God has sent and it's the Holy Spirit, then that wonderful Holy Spirit will testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will testify of all the wonderful things that He did while He lived in this world. Did you know the Bible said if everything that Jesus did was written and put in a book, that you put it in books, the entire world could not contain the books. So then, this great wonderful Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, what does He do? He testifies of Jesus. He testifies of the love of God. He testifies of them things that He saw with His Father. When He walked here in a body as God personified in human flesh, Jesus would always testify of those things that He had seen with God. He said, you talk about the things that you've seen with your father. I talk about the things I've seen with my father. So then God, on the inside of you, what will he do? Will he lead you out to the frivolous, beggarly elements of this world? No. What will he do? He will lead you to the house of God. He will lead you to the things of God. He will take you into the great, wonderful world of mysteries, into the great spirit world. Why? Because God is a spirit. And that great, wonderful spirit on the inside of you desires that you have life. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God is able to do abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think by this power that worketh within us, which means filled up and overflowing. When we think about Einstein, the great mighty Einstein, the greatest, perhaps the greatest knowledgeable man in all the world that just reached up and unlocked the heavens. Did you know that Einstein was not the equality of a baby as compared to you? Did you know the Bible speaks of John the Baptist as being under the law before the kingdom came? And the Bible said there never had been a greater born among women than John. Said, but notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And you are those that are in the kingdom of God. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. And you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which makes you exceedingly great, because that means that you are the God body in the earth. And Jesus Christ is the head of that God body. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. So then this great, wonderful Christ that's in the earth today, hallelujah, I'm glad that he's in the earth today. He has risen from the dead and he is alive and he lives in my heart tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. He is in your heart tonight. He loves you the same way he loves me. And he wants to do for you. He's no respected person. He wants to do the same thing for you that he's done for me or that he's ever done for anybody else. If you'll just love the Lord, lift your hands up to him, your hearts up to him, call upon the name of the Lord, while he may be found, God will do something great, outstanding for you. Somebody say hallelujah. So then tonight, we're here in the areas of Colorado. Having been here before, I've never been in this area, but I preached in Colorado. I've never been in the areas of New Mexico that I was in today, but I have preached in New Mexico. And I found people all over the world, in Colorado, in New Mexico, in California, in Florida. I found them in the Philippines. I found them in Africa. I found them around the world, that all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And everyone is seeking after something that is spiritual. Everybody is seeking after a God. It might be a God of one kind or a God of another kind. But they are seeking after some kind of God. God is trying his best to reach the hearts of mankind. Why is God doing that? Why does the preacher come here and preach to you? Why does the preacher run around the world? Why don't I stay home and watch after my little family? Or why don't I take up something, you know, and do like the others and find myself a career and do the things that would be pleasing, you know, to vacation and do the things that would be pleasing? Why do I spend my time trying to talk to God and trying to get people's attention and trying to get into their heart to where I can kind of do something for them? Why do I do that? Because there is something on the inside bigger than I am. There's something on the inside that tells me I must do this. There's something that tells me I have to do this. As the prophet said, I vowed in my heart I would not speak in the name of the Lord anymore. He said, but it was like fire that was shut up in my bones. I couldn't do anything but speak in his name. Like a little song we wrote one time. You know, we write a lot of songs, and a song we wrote is like fire shut up in my bosom. When you get this wonderful Holy Ghost, you can't do anything else. So then, what does it mean when a preacher comes to town? What does it mean? You know, people drive up and down the road, and they pass one policeman after another, and then someone will make a joke of the policeman, and they'll call him all kinds of names. I admit that the way the law is today, it looks like some of them should have a joke made of them, because they really are a joke. But folks, whether you believe it or not, that's still the power and the authority, and they still have the right to lock you up. See, and like Jesus said one time, he said, don't do the way the Pharisees and the scribes do. He said, they're hypocrites. He said, but you do what they tell you to do, because they do have the law of Moses, and they're sitting in the seat of Moses. And God said, I'll require it of you. See, and so then we have to think of the law the same way. The law, a lot of it's corrupt. You see a policeman go by, and after a while, you make a joke of him, and soon he's got you, and the joke's turned. And he's got you behind bars, or he's got the handcuffs on you. See, the best thing to do is to, as Solomon said, turn away wrath with a soft answer. And the best thing to do is honor the law. Obey the law. Unless it's corrupt, try to do the right thing and honor the magistrates. And uphold the law. And if you got corrupt men in there, get them out and put some good men in there. Get the women out that shouldn't be in there and put the right kind of women. See, don't be bought off. Don't compromise. Stand for something. You have as your responsibility all of the youth of the world that's coming up, especially as to America, because they have been the leaders of the world, and they've held that pace until just recently. Now, see, I don't want to mock the law. You shouldn't mock the law. Don't make a joke out of them. Maybe the policeman is no good. I know of a number of them that's like that. See, but still, that is the law, and the law is good if it is executed properly. And it's the same way with preachers. When preachers come into the town, you make a joke out of the preacher. You know, you tell jokes about the preacher. You don't pay any attention to the preacher. You hear a preacher on the radio, you hear one on TV, and sure enough, maybe there's a bad one. Maybe there's this one's no good that you heard. See, but the thing is, it's still the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice, because the word of God is going out to the people. What they do, they will have to answer to God for it. But the thing is, you are to reverence the word of God. Why should you do that? Because if that policeman has the power and authority to keep things in line as concerning the traffic and to take care of you, and should take care of you right if they're the right kind of law. Even so, the pastor is a shepherd to watch after the sheep, and he is sent to the people to teach them the fear of God. And this is his commission. He is commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul, the great Gentile apostle, tells us, he said, speaking to Timothy as his son, he said, there will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They'll pick out their own teachers, and they'll run them through school or do anything else, but they will produce that pleases them, and hear that pleases them as to whoever they want to have for their ministers. You know, folks, you need to think this over. If I come to church, if I was out sitting out there tonight, she was up here preaching, and I come to church and this is the attitude that I come with. Now, I'm going to listen, I'm going to scrutinize the preacher, and you should listen and scrutinize the preacher. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. But if I took that attitude and I sit out there and I said, now, if he tells me what I like, I'm going to accept it. If he preaches the way I think he ought to preach, I'm going to accept it. Because if he said the things that's pleasing to me, then he's my kind of a preacher. See, that is a poor attitude. If this preacher up here tonight doesn't tell you anything but what you already know, there's no need of you coming out here and wasting your time. And there's no need of him wasting his time, because you already know that. See, and if he comes here, the Bible tells us that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, going on to a full reward. And that this is why the preacher comes, that we might have the full blessing of God, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure of the full stature. See, this is God's way, because God said, I will do a new thing, and behold, my mercies are new every day. So then, should we receive the ministers? Absolutely. And we should come with open heart to see what God has to say to us, because the time is nigh at hand. And the Bible said, if he's a real man of God, it'll not be him speaking, but God speaking from within him, and God within his temple trying to reach the people. Why does that preacher come to town? Is there a real need for him coming? Why does he come? He comes to tell you to flee from the wrath of God. And he comes to preach like this. Paul said, Timothy, reprove. He comes to reprove you. And said, rebuke. He comes to rebuke, and even rebuke openly, that others may see and fear. See that they don't fall into the same problem. And he comes to instruct you. And the Bible said he comes to correct you. And he comes to lead you into the wonderful truths of God. Because the minister has to present you to God. There has to be a minister that will present you to God. One would say, well, Brother Pike, I'll present my own self, and I don't follow any minister, I don't listen to any doctrine, I'm going to do what I want to do. But the Bible says, and you should always be aware of this, a lot of people say, well, I don't preach any kind of doctrine. But the Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? He that is weaned from the breast. And the Bible says, reprove, instruct, and the Bible said, with all doctrine to teach them the wonderful doctrine of Christ, which is the Word of God. See, will this generation of today listen at it? No. They will not listen at it. Why will they not listen at it? Because they are a sinful generation. They are an adulterous generation. And the Bible said to the prophet, you go preach to these people. You go tell these people. Said, but they will not listen to what you tell them. But I'm going to require their blood at your hand if you don't tell them, because I want them warned that in the day of judgment that God might be free from all of the accusations that they could say against him. But he said, they're not going to listen to you. And this generation will not listen. This is a generation that does the things they want to do. The Bible said they have no fear before their eyes. They have no fear. The Bible said the blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. They're not concerned today about the doctrine of Christ. They have their own individual personality. And you know the sad thing of this is that some of those personalities are demons and devils. Devils are evil spirits. They're fallen angels, and they're demonic spirits. And they are a personality. And just like on the inside of that little body of yours, you are a spiritual being, and you're trying to project your personality through your wants and desires through that human body. These devils and demons that come along, they become interwoven with your interspirit, and they want to project their personalities, and they do what they want to do through your body as to the human desire. And like a leech, they use up your life, and soon your life is gone, and you have some kind of a bad disease, and the doctors don't have any healing medicines. All right, so then we know that the preachers come for one reason: to tell us how to escape the flames of the fire. To tell us how to escape the wrath of God. Now listen just a minute now. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what is God going to do with this vast, great multitude of people around the world? He said, all the nations that forget me, I will turn them into hell. He will not compromise one tiny bit of the scripture. In the days of Noah, how many people were saved? Have you ever considered that? In the days of Noah, 8 people were saved. Is that right? When the next great deliverance came, it was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I've been there where the fire and brimstone came down. How many people were saved? It was cut in half. There was 4 people. And when the great deliverance came, as he brought them out of Egypt, and they crossed over into the wilderness and got ready to go into Canaan, how many people were saved? He cut it down in halves again, and it was 2. And folks, in the day we're living in, the Bible said that Jesus Christ himself alone shall be exalted. And the Bible said Jesus Christ alone within you is the hope of glory. So he's cut it down again, and only one can be saved. And that's Jesus Christ. And if you're not his body and bone and members in particular, if Christ is not living in your heart, that means you will not be saved. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that God will take the great multitude of people of today and turn these people into hell with all the great multitude of the world? He certainly will. Before he will compromise one iota, he will turn the whole world into hell and start over all over again. So then, what am I saying? Paul emphatically said this, folks, and you think about this now. Paul said, you receive these ordinances and keep them as I deliver them unto you. Will God, because people have fallen into the rut that they've fallen into, will God actually change his plan for me or you or anybody else? Whereas the Bible said God's no respecter of person. But will God actually do that for some organization, for some religion, for some people, for some nation? No. What does the Bible tell us? Listen now. The Bible said the adulterer. Think of all the adulterers in the world today. The adulterer said an adulterous generation. Said the adulterer, and the Bible said, and the fornicator. And the Bible said the railer, and the extortioner, and those that are effeminate. The Bible says, and those that abuse themselves with mankind as to perverts. Are those people that say that they are gay. See, and the Bible says that those that steal, and those that kill, and those that rob, He said, and those that backbite with their tongue. He said, and the gossiper and the backbiter. And everyone that rejects the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, they shall not inherit eternal life. It doesn't matter if there's a million or a billion in the world today that's got a sip on the bottle or whatever it might be. God said, I will turn them into hell. I will not make any allowance for them. Folks, I tell you, that narrows down. So then it's no wonder God said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. It's no wonder that God said, little flock, fear not. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. So then we know that the minister comes to town to tell us the right thing. What does he tell us? He tells us that with all of the philosophy of today, with all the vain janglings of today, with all the great orators of today, with all the great things of today, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that he hasn't changed at all, and he's coming back after a people that's going to be holy and godly and pure, that God has brought into that by his Spirit through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So then, folks, it's getting late. It's getting real late. But time is upon us. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, nobody knows when the Lord is coming. Where did you read that in the Bible? Oh, somebody said, well, I know that the Bible said nobody knows the day nor the hour. That's true. The Bible does say that. But does the Bible say that no one knows when the Lord's coming? He said, if you cannot discern the signs of the time, you are hypocrites. He said, you discern the signs of the weather. He said, you should be able to discern the signs of the time. So then, do we know? He said, ye are children of light. That they should not come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. But you that are children of light, you will know when it's nigh, even at the door. And I've said this a lot of times. When somebody's at your door, that's about as close as they can get without you knowing about it. All they got to do is turn the knob, or you open the door, and there they are. He said that you would know when it was nigh at the door. And you know, I wished again, as I said last night, that I had the time to go into it tonight to bring to you just how close it really is. And folks, I mean it's real close. So I can show it to you by the signs. I can show it to you by the Word of God. I can show it to you by the calendar dates. I can show it to you by the happenings that surround us, that the coming of the Lord is now at hand. Even being here in this little place and sitting way out here in this field, there is a spiritual significance to it. That's why I'm out here. Not just by chance did I come here. I've been privileged to preach around the world. God's blessed me. And it's not by chance that we're here. We come because the good Lord of heaven sent us here. And it's wonderful to be here to talk to you people. You've had such good spirits, such good attitudes, been so receptive, not fought, not been ugly at all. Not one night had you. So, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying that God is going to have a people. God is going to have a people. There is going to be people that's going to love the Lord and going to serve God and that's going to look to God, because when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's going to take them away. You know, not too long ago, we were over in Nevada having a crusade there in Nevada, Las Vegas. And after this crusade, I went into a vision. I was at home. I went into a vision and I saw the translation take place. And what you call the rapture, you know, the word rapture really isn't in the Bible. It's a man-made application, and sometimes it causes you to stumble. But the Bible said from glory to glory we're changed, and the rapture means, of course, caught up, which we will be at the change, Thessalonians change. But anyway, I had a vision of what you call the rapture. And you know, in this vision, I looked, and I was literally astounded, because I saw a great, terrible calamity befall the people. And it was, oh, as the heavens was filled with something that was very dreadful and very devastating. And I could tell that this thing, I don't know where it had to do with bombing or what it was, planes or whatever it was, but I could tell that it was a terrible turn of event. And all of a sudden, about this time, what we call the rapture, the translation, began to take place. And I looked, and did you know that I saw the people as they began to lift up from the ground one at a time? And did you know there were so few people that I couldn't hardly believe that to save my life. I could stand there and count them on my hand. Those people. I saw them out of the people. And this was the only people that I saw lifting up that went away with God at this great time of this great calamity. You know, the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Pray always. For the Bible said it's going to be so terrible that there won't be any healing medicines, that all of the brilliance of the scientists of the world today won't even be able to heal one body. And the Bible said, and the people will gnaw their tongues for pain, and gross darkness will fall upon the people, and it will be such a horrible hour that ye should pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape those dreadful things that's coming on the earth. Folks, and it's close at hand. It's close at hand. And then besides that, you know that you've got to die. Every person dies. It's appointed that a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. And you know the graveyard is the end of all flesh, whether it be great men, educated men, whether it be rich, whatever it might be. That's the end of them. And for that reason, you ought to stay right with God, because you never know. Like my son was telling me today, I was talking to him long distance over the phone. And he was telling me about a horse that we have there, and about this particular man that had something to do with this horse, and that he'd come over and was visiting with him. And he said, you know, Dad, he said, as I stood there and talked to that man, he, a great wealthy man, rich, a great outstanding man, big ranch, whatever, said, but if, as I stood there and talked to him, said, all of a sudden he collapsed. And he said, I managed to get him back into the car, said, but I suddenly realized that that man don't have long for this world. And said, I asked him, did he know anything about God? Did he go to church or whatever, you know? He said, well, I don't. My wife does. I hardly ever go to church. I'm not a church-going person. But folks, you can't do that. Why, you can't do that. Why are we so childish? We're such brilliant people, educated people, professors, great intelligent men and women in America, some of the greatest, most intelligent people in all the world. And I can say that because I've been around the world. You know, and why do we act like a child and say, well, I don't go to church. I like to fish, and I like to hunt, and I like to play golf, and that's for other people. What kind of ignorance is that displayed in a human mind? You're not something that you can just do what you want to whenever you get ready, even though God has given you a sovereignty and allowed you to do that. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded them people to repent, said, every one of you repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the infilling of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. For it's given unto you and your children to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, in beginning in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, that salvation shall be taught in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. So then, we are not somebody that can just sit around, you know, and say we just do what we want to, and we don't like that, we don't go to church. You know, folks, then when you talk about golf, that's one thing. When you talk about baseball, that's another thing. When you talk about sports, when you talk about buying cars, when you talk about having homes, all these kind of things, that's one thing. You know, having money, making money, having businesses. But let me tell you, when you talk about God and going to God's house and being a Christian, that's something altogether different. That is not something that's optional. That's just not something you fit in with your routine of life or your way of life. That is something that you have to do to stay out of the burning flames of the fire. That is something God said, what I send to one, I send to all. And when he tells you this, he's calling you to repentance. And tonight, God is calling you to repentance. Deathbeds are coming. The judgments are coming. The things are coming. This is a different situation, folks. This does not fit in with the routine of everyday life of the things that you do in your lifestyle. This is something that God does. And God hath made you, and God hath put you together. And the Bible said, if you would see long life and have good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Now, let's say this, and we're going to close right here. We talked about the devastating side of life, but God is love, and God is good. And if you'll let him be love, he will be loving. God is good. He's angry with the wicked every day. Not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But if you will not, all nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell. On this side, God says, if you will confess your sins and forsake your sins, then all that you do will prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. And I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. If you will delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will make you rich. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. I'll make you like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. See, and God tells us that with the great, wonderful abundance of his blessings, his love, that he looks down upon you and you're the apple of his eye. And he is interested in you, and he loves you, and he wants to be with you. He wants to guide America. He wants to guide every nation in the world, because all people of all races, all colors, without respect to person, belong to God. And God wants a liberty and justice for all, which we say here in America. But you know that's not right. We don't have a liberty and justice for all. We just do whatever we're told to do by the boycotting system and the situation. We're caught in the circumstantial environment of that which we can't seem to do anything about. But God is still with us. And God doesn't want that. He brought his people out of Egypt, and he's going to bring his people out of these things. So then the time of deliverance is here. The great, wonderful time of deliverance. And you know what? Being here tonight in under this tent and being this particular place has such a great spiritual significance that it would take me all night long just to elaborate on just a very little of it. But anyway, we're here because we love you. And looking at it from this standpoint, we're just speaking as a minister to you to tell you that we love you, and we come here to tell you about Jesus and his wonderful love, and that we'd like for you to worship with us. We'd like for you to be in heaven with us. We'd like for you to have this wonderful eternal life that God so freely gives to them that will call on him while he is near and to call upon him while he can be found. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, let's stand together. And while you're standing together, let's come back to the organ, the different ones as the musicians. And we've made out pretty well with this mic tonight. And let us just kind of sing and praise God a little bit tonight. It's been my privilege to be here, especially with our brother John Jameson, who has a brother in Christ, and these other precious brothers that come out here to be with us. I think it's so wonderful. And I was wondering if we had other ministers here tonight. I didn't get to ask last night. We had a good crowd of folks last night. And I think it might be off a little bit tonight. And it seems like it might be off a little bit because people have church on Sunday night. And a lot of times the evangelists under the tent, they'll have service in the afternoon, which we do that sometimes. But this particular time, we felt that it was to be this way. And I just wondered if there's any more ministers among us. Would you lift your hands up so that I can see? All right, there's a brother right there. Certainly glad to have you here. Here's another brother over to the left, Brother John says. So I know we got several ministers here. Certainly glad to have our minister brothers to come out. How do you know we're supposed to speak the same thing? You know, I know we've got a lot of ministers in the world and we ain't speaking the same thing. But that ain't the way the Bible teaches it. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, when the great, wonderful Holy Spirit was poured out upon the people. You know, Pentecost was a day of forgiveness as to under the law, the time of Pentecost, the Jews used that as forgiving everybody their debts. And God used that as a symbol to bring salvation, to forgive all men their debts. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they were in one mind, just the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. And they were in one accord just to do the will of God. And they all were together. All were together and all spoke the same thing. That was the first church. And folks, if that's the way the first church was, it should be that way today. It should be that way today. And so then we should be speaking the same thing. He said, well, Brother Pipe, what should we be speaking? The Word of God. He that God sendeth will speak God's Word. We should be speaking the Word of God. And we should be coming together as a people to love the Lord to the infilling of the Spirit, because the Word of God said that when Peter opened the doors to the Gentile church down at Cornelius's and opened it to the Jews, that it was all the same thing. That the great, wonderful, loving Holy Spirit came and the mighty Holy Ghost filled all of the place, and they began to have this wonderful experience of even speaking with tongues. And the Bible said as this wonderful Spirit came to them in the upper room, that it came in the form of cloven tongues of fire and set upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And at the upper coast of Ephesus, when Paul rebaptized some of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was John's disciples, they began to prophesy. And this great, wonderful Spirit moves in you. And it brings the gifts into the Spirit. It brings the gifts into the church. Because of one Spirit, many operations. And so then the gifts is in the church. And tonight you're the church. And God is so wonderful. I wish we had time to really preach the gospel to you. But we've got thousands of tapes where we preach the gospel to different people around the world and on the home front. And you're welcome to get a hold of them. All you got to do is write. The message is in about every major or more than every major language of the world. And you're welcome to this wonderful literature. We don't charge for it. You just write for it. You can get it, books and literature. There's a lot of it back here that they've got. We try not to turn God's Word into merchandise. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. And that's the way we do it. And it works out real good for us. God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. All right, let's sing together, Brother Taylor. We're here to worship the Lord tonight. I want to say that God bless you. You've been a good audience, and God bless you. And may the Lord richly add to you and your little ones, and we'll be praying for you wherever we go. And a lot of times, folks, I don't say this in any way boastful, because sometimes I go to sleep on my knees, but a lot of times we're all night long waiting for the sun to come up. We've been there when the sun would come up. A lot of times we're all night long on our knees because we love people and we love to talk to God and we love to tell God how much that we love people and want these people blessed. And when we leave a meeting, we don't just leave you without prayer. We try to leave you some literature and then we go our way and we try to remember you after that. From time to time, night after night, as we pray, we begin to say, Lord, remember that little tent meeting back over there. And we prayed much for you since we've been here. And Lord, remember that little tent meeting back over there in the edge of Colorado. And bless them people over there. Bless that man and bless his wife. Bless them little children. Help them, oh God. Do something special for them. And folks, he hears our prayers. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I can tell that some of you are believing. For the Bible said as Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I can feel the Holy Ghost beginning to fall right now. So I can tell that there is, with the audience, faith tonight. You believe what you've heard. Let's sing together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing that with me now. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing that with me. Oh, I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. We need thee, and we need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Sing it now. So don't, the altars are open if you'd like to come tonight. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The bridegroom is saying, come. The bride is saying, come. Let whosoever will come tonight while we sing this song. He has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. Sing it with me now. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn Jesus away. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Somebody say he's wonderful. Hallelujah. While we're singing these choruses together, we'd like for you to come and stand around the altar with us. While we're singing, let's just everybody come to the altar tonight. Can we do that? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can everybody come tonight? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross
at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all... One more time. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. I am happy all the day. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Good enough for me. You better get that old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. Will take us all to heaven. And sing that with me. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me the... Can you give God a wave offering tonight? Give him a wave offering. Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. It's good. One more time together. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. And it's good. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. And it's good. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way is rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. You'll move over just a little bit. I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, help you carry your load. Cause I'm working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy. Can you sing that with me? Behind me. I keep working the roads to glory,
working that road to glory,
helping the weak and the blind. Gone to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those that's behind. This road to heaven is straight and also narrow. The gate around us, trials of every kind.
I'm going to smooth out the snares that hinder offer. My prayers I'll make it easy for someone behind. For we're working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy for those behind. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord tonight? I want to do something for God. I want to make it easy for someone else, and we can do that. It's so wonderful to be here and feel the yoke broken and feel the wonderful presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And while we sing this little chorus together, if you'd like for me to lay hands on you, if you'll come up close to the altar here, as many of you as can, we'll lay hands on you tonight because this is the last night of the meeting, and we'll be glad to lay hands on you. We laid hands on people last night. The Bible said if you are a believer, you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The Bible said they will recover. And of course, we know that that is true. So while we sing this little chorus together, if you'll gather in close here, we'll lay hands on you. I'm going to ask my ministers if they'll come up and pray with me for these people while we're praying. The world seems cold and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you. And when there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who's a friend to you. Sing it with me now. There's someone who cares, someone who shares all your troubles like no other can do. And he'll come down from the sky, he'll brush the tears from your eyes, for he's and he cares for you. Sing it one more time now. Someone to care. There is someone who'll share. All your burdens like no other can do.
Like no other can do.
And he'll come down from the sky.
He'll come down from the sky.
And he'll brush the tears right out of your eyes.
From your eyes.
For he's your friend and he cares for you. Someone who cares. I'm going to ask the ministers to come over here. Will you come over here with me, brethren? And let's lay hands on these people. Let's lay hands on the people. Now, the Bible said they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And they do recover. And tonight, I want you to believe with me. The Bible said God's able to do abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think by this wonderful power that works within you and I. And tonight, he wants to work that power within you and I. So let's lift our hands up, close our eyes tonight. While we love the Lord and while we lay hands on the people, while they're singing the song, if they'll continue to sing the song, while we lay hands on you, then God will bless you tonight. Come, brethren, let's pray. Come and let's lay hands on them. Father, tonight, as I lay hands upon our Sister Marie tonight, dear wonderful God, may there come an abundance of blessing. Almighty God of heaven, through the wonderful Son of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Father, may it enter into this life. Satan, take your hands off of this girl and take away your evil discouragement as to this faith. And let this vision live again in this body in Jesus Christ's name. Touch this woman. Father, may she be healed tonight. May the power of God be here. And God, may she be healed. I feel you breaking the yoke. I feel you stirring these people tonight. May the God of heaven touch these bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, I want the yokes broken, and may they reach out in a great way tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this little boy, Father. Father, touch this man tonight. May the power of God be here, as that power that works within him. Oh God, by faith to do abundantly and above. And dear God, touch this woman tonight. I ask for your blessing tonight. May the great spirit come down. May the great blessings of God be here tonight. Touch these people. Oh God, to heal. I feel your healing tonight. I feel you, Lord, as faith goes up to you. Satan, I adjure thee tonight to take your hands off of these people. These people belong to God. The body belongs to God. And you're a trespasser, Satan. I adjure thee in the name of Christ to move your hand tonight. Oh God, may the blessings of the Lord be here. And Satan, you'll have to take your flight tonight. These are God's people, and you don't have any right at all to these bodies. Hallelujah. And God, I feel you healing these people tonight. Lord, tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus, may your spirit move tonight, Lord. Touch this little lad tonight. Oh, God, I ask for your blessings. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this woman tonight. May the blessings be upon this sister in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Touch these little girls tonight, Father. Lord, as I lay hands on them, touch them. You said, suffer the little children to come unto you, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, there's someone who cares. Can you lift your hands up tonight? Can you close your eyes to share all your burdens like no other?